Meeting for the Goleta City Council on February 2nd to order, and we'd like to lead off with the Pledge of Allegiance. If everyone would address the flag. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Clerk, will you do the roll call, please?
Councilmember Seves?
Here.
Councilmember Bennett?
Here.
Councilmember Easton?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Connell?
Here.
Mayor Onan?
Here. All right, at this point, we are going to have public forum, and this is the opportunity for the public to speak to any item that is not on the agenda. I do not believe I have any speaker slips. Madam Clerk, anything turned into you?
Mayor, I have no speaker slips.
All right, so we'll move on out of public forum. City Manager Singer, do we have any changes or adjustments to the agenda?
No.
All right, we'll move on into item A.
Mr. Mayor, while the clerk and our newest employee are working their way up to the podium, wanted to give Mr. Wagner an opportunity to just say a few words about Everett. Everett joined our staff just yesterday, and so he is not just our newest employee, but literally brand new for us. So.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, it's my pleasure tonight to introduce to you our newest city employee, Everett King, who's coming on as our environmental coordinator for Community Services Department. This is the person who's going to be responsible for implementing the city's solid waste and stormwater programs, the position I've been talking to you about for some time, and I'm very pleased to be able to introduce him tonight. Everett has a wealth of experience in solid waste programs and similar activities, coming to us from Ventura County for the last 4 years and prior to that with Santa Barbara County. So we're really lucky to have him. We look forward to him coming on board and kind of taking over these programs and helping implement both the solid waste and stormwater programs for the city.
Can I ask you to stand right there? So I'm going to ask you to raise your right hand. I,
Everett King,
do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California, that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties upon which I am about to enter.
I do.
Everybody can say anything if you want, no pressure to do so. I'm sure you'll have plenty of opportunities to formally present to the council.
Yes, sir. But in the meantime, thank you very much for the opportunity to work with you. I look forward to getting right into the programs for which I will be responsible, and I'm looking forward to my first presentation before you, whenever that might be. So, thank you.
Well, welcome, Mr. King. You know that you're in an office that you have pretty big shoes to fill. And I welcome you, although I coveted that office as well. So do a good job because I'm standing in line waiting for that office. Welcome. All right, we've got another item here. Is this to you, Mr. Singer?
Mr. Wagner will introduce members here from NOAA. Mr. Adamitis.
Adamitis.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor and members of the council, we're pleased to have with us today Mr. Eric Bolt and Mr. Mark Johnson from the National Water Service for Mr. Mark Jackson, correct? From the National Water Service for a brief presentation that they have to the city.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor Onan and City Council. My name is Eric Bolt. I'm the Warning Coordination Meteorologist for the National Weather Service in Oxnard. We're here tonight to speak on behalf of your local National Weather Service to present the city with a storm-ready designation. Storm Weather is a weather service grassroots program. It's designed to put a community's weather preparedness plans through rigorous evaluation and to ensure the community's Office of Public Safety can receive severe weather warnings, disseminate warnings to the public in a timely fashion, and monitor the ongoing weather situation. Storm Ready requires community education and awareness activities through annual disaster preparedness talks and hosting of a National Weather Service volunteer weather spotter program, which gives us ground truth when we have severe weather. The coordination and communication channels between the National Weather Service and the City of Goleta have greatly improved due to the dedication of being storm ready tonight. The City of Goleta is now more prepared for severe weather and should be proud of its accomplishment. Although we can be assured that Goleta has done everything necessary to become storm ready, the Weather Service will continue to work with the City and the County of Santa Barbara toward a future tsunami ready designation for the immediate coastal areas. Now I'd like to introduce the meteorologist in charge of the National Weather Service office in Oxnard, Mark Jackson. He will present the city with two red signs and also a certificate. Thank you.
Every time I follow Eric, I have to go like this. So, thank you, Eric. Before I begin, I need to recognize and thank the efforts of Eric and also Greg and their hard work and through your support, Vito. It's truly an indication of their dedication to public safety that this certification is a reality. And also thank you, Mayor Onan, for your support in the process. It is clear that you and the city care about the safety and well-being of its people, whether they are full-time residents visiting or just passing through. Mr. Mayor, members of the council, thank you for having us here tonight. We are very pleased and proud to have the City of Goleta as a recognized partner with the National Weather Service in helping to serve its mission to save lives and protect property. There's only one way to put it. We can only do our job of serving our mission through the partnerships of the communities it serves, such as what we see here tonight. Our watches and warnings are only the beginning. It takes community leaders like you to commit to building the infrastructure and systems necessary to take appropriate action, and this certification does that. You as city leaders have taken a proactive approach to help prepare for, respond to, and recover from hazardous weather, showing genuine care for the people of Goleta and their safety. Thus, congratulations on becoming storm ready. I present this certificate of achievement and also the storm ready signs that you see on the corner of the room that you can display either within the city offices or outside within the city limits to show your this declaration. We look forward to continuing with this partnership with the city through the years and helping to protect from hazardous weather and also a future tsunami ready designation. So congratulations.
Mr. Adamidis, do you have anything to add?
No, I just want to thank the representatives from the Weather Service today. I appreciate the collaborative work effort that we have with all of your staff. Appreciate the alerts that go out at 2 a.m. regarding the latest weather update. And I also certainly want to thank Greg for a lot of work on his part in assisting through this process and getting certified. And it's just another example, I think, of the city's efforts in the area of emergency preparedness, that it's an ongoing effort, and we're really pleased to see this today.
Thank you very much. All right, let's move on to our next item, which is the consent calendar. From council, are there any requests to pull anything from the consent calendar? Seeing none?
Move approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Unanimous. We'll move on to item C, C1. And I believe this goes to you, Ms. Schultz.
Good evening. Thank you, Mayor and Council members. This evening, staff brings before you a request for stop signs on Padova at Salisbury and on Deerhurst at Padova. The request came from a citizen who children go to Brandon School and also for Brandon School's safety coordinator. The request is to replace existing yield signs with stop signs. The problem that was occurring in the field was that the drivers were not even really yielding to the pedestrian because of a yield sign they were rolling through, which they're looking for vehicular traffic and perhaps not as cognizant of the pedestrian traffic as they should be. We evaluated and saw this happen in the field as the children were going to school. We then took a look at accident records, which there were none for either of these particular intersections. We looked at the volume counts and provided the engineering analysis for the manual on uniform traffic control and resolved that the appropriate recommendation for this site would be to indeed replace the yield signs with stop signs in accordance with the MUTCD. We have, as a part of the report, a few comments from the public in general in support of replacing the yield signs with stop signs. I believe that you were also provided with two additional comments that came in after the writing of the report. Once again, in support of the stops, the yield signs being replaced by stop signs. There were comments as well from Brandon School Safety Coordinator requesting that actually the Padova-Salisbury intersection be a four-way stop. But as recommended, as well as one of the ones that one of the requests that came in later, also alluded or didn't actually state specifically, but definitely alluded to the fact that they thought it should be a four-way stop as well. As explained in the report, a four-way stop is typically installed where you have a more equal volume of traffic coming together at both from both. Directions within a four-way intersection in the eastbound and the east-westbound and the north-south-westbound. And as evidenced by the traffic counts in that area, it doesn't fall within that criteria. Although, of course, there's alternatives to allowing the intersections to remain as is or to to allow staff to implement the replacement of the yield signs with stop signs, or council could choose another course of action, such as directing staff to go and evaluate as well as bring back an all-way stop for either the Padova-Salisbury intersection or the Deerhurst-Padova intersection. The fiscal impacts associated with this are minor. The signposts are there. We're just replacing the existing yields, which would then be stored for future use, and stop signs would be installed. We would have some temporary flagging and noticing, flagging it to notice a change in the sign configuration, but those are minimal costs. I'm available to answer any questions on this project.
Thank you very much. Any questions from council? If there's no questions, I think staff, Ms. Schultz, has also addressed public comment. We do have a speaker on the item. Well, if it's all right with council, we'll move to the speaker. So I'd like to call Ruth McAlpin.
Hello, thank you for having me. I'm actually the St. Francis School Coordinator that has talked to Maddie quite extensively, and I appreciate all her efforts on this. We also have a parent who I'm hoping will talk to this this issue as well. I'm all for the two-way stop. A little nervous, you know, speaking in public. I'm all for the two-way stop. I would hope that maybe next year we could see if the two-way stop is effective, and if it is, just leave it as a two-way stop. If it's not, it's still a safety issue to the people who cross it daily, either on their bikes or walking, that we could look back and maybe see if we could change that to a four-way stop. You know, I don't cross that street every day. I do drive my my vehicle on that street every day, and I'm pretty aware, because I am the Safe Routes to School coordinator, how many people, kids walk at certain times of the day or on their bicycles. But not everybody is as cognizant as I am. So I would hope that by putting a two-way stop in, it'll alleviate at least a little bit of the problem for those pedestrians. So I'm all for the two-way stop. If we could look at it again next year, and if it's still a problem, switch it to a four-way, that'd be great. Bring it to the table again. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, thank you. Tuti Weitzman?
Yes. Hi.
You have the mic.
I'd just like to also thank everyone for putting this on the agenda and looking it over and realizing it is an issue, because I do bike with my daughter, not every day, but pretty close to it, and it is a hazard, and you don't realize it until you're on a bike and see what goes on there and see the speeding cars, and you think they're going to stop, but they don't. And I agree with Ruth. Thanks for doing the two-way stop, and hopefully we can look at it again, because the busy street there is, they just don't slow down. And that whole area has all yield signs at every intersection. There's no stop signs. And there's a preschool there and the school. And so if you could just keep it on the list of things to revisit for additional stop signs, I think it would benefit everyone. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Staff, anything you'd like to respond to or add?
Mayor and council members, we anticipate, as with many different locations in the city, continuing monitoring is kind of a standard practice for us anytime where we have changes in school and issues, the number of students that are going to schools. We do try to monitor all of those locations. We work closely with our police department as they rove between the schools, doing spots with spot checks with regards to speeds, trying to keep all of those morning rush hours in the right place and the right speed limits. So we continue to monitor those as standard practice, and of course we'll take a look at this intersection as well and see if we have any increases in pedestrians as we see less people driving or more parents driving their children to school. And we'll keep an eye on that for certain.
Thank you. All right, back to council. Questions of staff or comments?
Question.
Mr. Seves.
Ms. Schultz, just do we know what the reasoning was in putting up the yield signs to begin with? What were they hoping to accomplish by doing that?
It's kind of a progression in the MUTCD. It allows for either yield or stop control in a unbalanced intersection such as this. So I think it was probably that first step in a process where they were trying. The traffic manual basically tries to get you to use as little traffic control as possible to keep free flow. Without the yield signs, the vehicle code would require the minor or lesser volume street to stop, and sometimes I don't think people really realize what that is. So I think the first step was that they put in the yield in order to get them to stop and yield to the higher volume street. And it just kind of, as I said, it's kind of a natural progression.
And these were put up prior to cityhood, I would think.
Correct.
And then addressing Mrs. Weitzman's comment, with the other intersections they have yield signs, I know that's not before us today, but I would certainly hope that we would look at them and see if the traffic counts justify having the yield signs stay in place. It seems to me that, again, it's put up under county rule, and things have changed in 7 years, so 8 years. Today's our birthday.
Eight
years. Those are my questions.
I'm sorry. Mr. Eason.
My understanding in an earlier matter is that crosswalks that are not protected with a stop sign are generally not advised. Am I correct in that?
This is correct. We would not, at this time, the city has not installed any crosswalks without a yield sign.
Okay.
or without a stop sign, excuse me, or intersection control such as a signal or a stop sign.
We have crosswalks at these intersections right now.
Correct. They are current. They have been there prior to cityhood. They are maintained. In order to remove a crosswalk, we would have to go through another process, public noticing, per the vehicle code, in order to remove a crosswalk. And given that this is within a school zone and the neighborhoods are used to it, it would be something that would have to definitely be evaluated.
Would I hesitate to ask this, but would you hazard a guess as to how many unprotected with stop sign crosswalks there are in this neighborhood?
I'm sure it would be in the majority. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't hazard a guess other than that at this point.
So our decision in this case, if we were to install stop signs, is consistent with the traffic manual?
Yes.
Not necessarily consistent with the rest of the neighborhood?
Well, not with regards to the stop signs, but with regards to painted crosswalks. Correct. The crosswalks are primarily in locations where it's been identified by the school that this is the route that the majority of the students take.
Okay. I understand. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Other questions or comments from council?
Prepared to make a motion?
Please do.
Well, I think that, you know, safer to schools, protecting kids going to school is one of the most important things that we need to look at in terms of traffic. And I fully support this proposal and move the adoption of resolution number 10 next in order, a resolution of the City Council of the City of Goleta authorizing the installation of stop signs at the Padova Drive, Salisbury Avenue, and Padova Drive, Deerhurst Drive intersections. And I hope, I'm sure we will monitor this situation in the future.
Second. We have a couple of seconds.
About a question on that one.
Okay. Any other discussion? If not, let's have a vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous. So that motion carries. I would like to skip back to our previous item and allow Rihanna to read those items into the record.
Consent calendar item B3, adopt resolution number 10 next in order, entitled a resolution of the City Council of the City of Goleta, California, establishing the City Council Ad Hoc Fire Station Development Committee.
Thank you. All right, we'll go to item D1. Mr. Giles, I believe you have the floor.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. The City of Goleta has a tax on visitors to our hotels and motels on transient occupancy. This is a tax that was in place by the county at the time of city incorporation. The city adopted and continued that tax at the rate of 10%, which it has maintained throughout the city's 8 years of existence. The County of Santa Barbara originally adopted their transient occupancy tax at 8%. Sometime after that, in 1986, Prop 62 was passed by the voters of the state of California, which requires that any general tax be approved by a majority of the electorate prior to being implemented. There was, at that time, some disagreement as to the extent and applicability and constitutionality of Prop 62. The county increased its rate of TOT from 8% to 10% in 1990 without submitting the increase to the voters, believing at that time, based on court rulings that were in existence at that time, that the voter approval requirement, Prop 62, did not apply. Subsequently, the California Supreme Court has made it clear that Prop 62 does apply and that the voter approval requirement is valid and should have been followed when the county raised its occupancy tax in 1990. Today, the Board of Supervisors took up this issue, realizing the vulnerability of that 2% increase that was never approved by the voters. And they elected to maintain the 10% rate, but to request the voters to ratify or to continue the 10% rate at the June election. Staff, having learned of what had happened during the county's having the TOT, and their consideration of the vulnerability of the TOT has also evaluated the Goleta transient occupancy tax to see if it suffers from the same vulnerability. And while Prop 62 had an intent to assure voters that voters were provided an opportunity to accept or reject a general tax, that purpose was accomplished in that the vote on city incorporation ensured that the Goleta voters did have a voice, because that act of incorporation brought forward the Goleta TOT from the county TOT at 10%. It is our opinion, based on looking at the legal authorities that exist, the Attorney General's opinions that have looked at incorporation votes and how they apply to Prop 218 or Prop 62 voter approval requirements, it is our opinion that the Goleta TOT does not suffer the same vulnerability as the county TOT. We did want to bring this matter to the council's attention, allow you to know how the Goleta TOT stands, considering the vulnerability that has been reported with the County of Santa Barbara TOT. And with that, I'm available for any questions that you might have.
All right. Madam Clerk, do we have any speaker slips on this item?
No speaker slips.
All right. Questions of staff from the council?
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Bennett.
Mr. Singer, if I may, what would be the cost of us putting this on the ballot?
If we're speaking about the June ballot election, it would be more expensive than the November general election. I believe our expected costs would be in the range of probably $10,000 to $12,000 for the June election and $8,000 to $10,000 for general election, the ballpark. That would just be the cost to place the item on the ballot.
I understand. But that would be the city's cost nonetheless. Be their total cost?
That would be the city's total cost. It would be our advice, though, if the council were to direct that we do that, that it be accompanied by some public information and there's costs related, like legal costs.
Now, my next question is addressed to our legal counsel. What would be the cost, in your opinion, if we were to have to adjudicate this issue if someone disagreed with your opinion?
If there's a challenge to this ordinance, it's likely that the challenge would be brought as a not as a validation action on the tax, but as an attempt to recover payments that were made. Depending on the value of the tax that had been paid, remembering that these taxes are paid by the occupants, the transient people that come in, that incremental value, as opposed to the hotels and all of the rooms that they sell. If depending on the level that reaches, if it reaches the threshold where it would be in the Superior Court, my expectation is that most of those cases would be handled by our office with existing staff without additional attorney's fees. If we were to retain outside counsel, it is something that I would estimate somewhere between $10,000 to $25,000could be expected on a Superior Court action. Anything less than that would be handled as a small claims action in all likelihood, and could be adjudicated by staff without any legal costs.
Thank you.
Other comments or questions from council?
I'm wondering if staff knows what the county's action was today.
Yes, members of council. Councilmember O'Connell, the county today decided to put this matter on the ballot in June, and in the interim to leave it at the current 10%. And so they there will be no change in the TOT, just a question of voter ratification in June.
Mr. Sevis.
Mr. Giles, just for clarification, my understanding in your report, verbally and written, that when the voters approved cityhood 8 years ago, they did so understanding that our TOT was 10%. Is that correct?
Well, they did so, and the legal consequence of that was to continue the TOT. One of the issues, it was a specific provision in the LAFCO resolution, which was supported by the ballot measure. The ballot language itself, obviously, is a much shorter blurb, but the resolution that was being adopted included a specific provision, finding by LAFCO, that conditioned incorporation on the continuance of all taxes, fees, and assessments at the rates that they were set. So that was the legal effect of the decision to incorporate. You couldn't segregate those two out. So a vote for incorporation was a vote to continue that 10%.
Okay, so then my question along the same line then, the county's issue is that they didn't bring it to the voters to go from 8 to 10. So that's the dilemma they're in now. Our voters voted on 10.
That's correct.
Okay, so we don't have that issue. So talking about having to put on the ballot measure, personally, I don't see what the need is if the public has already voted for it. Unless you see something else that I'm not understanding.
That would be our opinion, Brett, as Councilmember Bennett pointed out. Certainly our opinion is subject to challenge, to a difference of opinion by others, and anyone could file an action to challenge that opinion. And, you know, what a court would eventually resolve on that question, even if it were in the city's favor, there would be, as we discussed, the legal costs of defending it, setting aside the cost of whatever refund might accrue from such an action. So it would only be as a matter of caution to head off or foreclose that possibility of a legal challenge by having spending that money then to have the voters ratify it, much like Santa Barbara is doing.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other comment or question from the council? So I would assume, Mr. Attorney, that you are looking from some direction from council or an acceptance of this path?
There is no need for direction. If the council desires staff to look into bringing this back and placing it on the ballot, certainly giving us that direction, then we could agendize that and bring those options back for you. This was agendized only as a discussion item, so the only appropriate direction would be a direction as to bring something back for future consideration.
Well, I'll leave it to the council. Did anyone want to make a motion or a recommendation, see if we have a consensus to let it stay as it is or to explore the option on this?
I think doing nothing in this particular case is probably the least expensive thing to do. And I'll take the good counsel's counsel and let it ride.
Mr. Bennett?
I would concur.
I concur.
Absolutely.
Looks like we have direction.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, so let's move on to item E, and that's council comments. And Mr. Sevis, I know that you can give us a Legislative Issues Committee report, so why don't you lead us off?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just to report that the Mayor and I met on the 28th of January, reviewed the first draft of our new legislative platform. It's quite detailed. We have we'll meet again in another week.
On the 11th?
And hopefully we'll then have a proposed draft before Council at their first meeting in March, our first meeting in March. And other than that, I think for our next meeting, I'll be able to report on the fact that the Finance Committee will meet on the 4th. The Ordinance Committee will meet on the 4th. Both Mayor Pro Tem Kahn and I are on those committees, so they've conveniently booked us back to back. We have that on the 4th. And then also be able to report on the next meeting that the Saints won the Super Bowl. Mm. So that's my report.
Mm. Thank you. Any other council comments this evening?
I have no comments.
Streisand.
Mr. Mayor, I had lunch this week with two proponents of good government, and we were discussing the Supreme Court's decision regarding corporate funding of election process. I don't wish to discuss that, but it did make me think of something that occurred during my election process, and thinking that now is a good time to raise this to the council, simply because we are in between elections and we've got enough time to look at this. I made a proposal at the first forum that we, that the candidates would provide greater transparency for the election by making public any gifts that they got during the last 2 weeks, which typically don't get reported until after the election, which is much too late to be of any value to a voter. This proposal was not taken up by our opponents, and so we continued on as we normally do. But I believe that there are two aspects of the election process that I would hope staff might bring back to us with the agreement of another council member, at least some of the options that might be before us. One is individual contributions occurring in the last 2 weeks after the public notice, how those might be made public, particularly using the electronic media, which at this point is so universal that it would seem to me to be fairly simple to do and not very expensive. And the second, perhaps much more difficult question, is the participation in the electoral process by anonymous organizations who can put money into a campaign, put information out in the forum, as it were, and have an impact on election without anybody being knowledgeable about who these people are and what their aims are. And if staff could look into these and at least place before us some of the implications of the city acting in these areas and how we might do it, I think the discussion would be good for us, would be enlightening, and also conceivably from it might come legislative action on our part to make elections more transparent, to make the parties be clear and understood by all. And I think a lesson in good government for all our neighbors up and down the South Coast and as well as the rest of the county.
All right. You usually need the second of another council person in order to ask staff to do some initial work on that.
Is that a policy that's written down that an individual council member cannot propose something?
We have accepted as practice the concept that one council person does not direct staff.
Well, I don't know about directing staff, but I think. Well, I think that's something for future discussion, perhaps, as to how an individual council member can put something on the agenda. But in the meantime, I'm prepared to support Councilman Easton's proposal. I had thought there were some other aspects of it that you had mentioned, such as putting the financial reports online so that people, if they could be scanned and put online, that might be a possibility. Anyway, there are a number of issues like this around campaign finance that we should look at. As far as the independent organizations, I think you're talking about state law there, but that's another matter. Anyway, I definitely support the idea of having a discussion of this item.
Well, staff, it looks like we have two council people requesting some work on your part to bring us back some information.
We will conform to that.
Thank you. Any other council comments? Mr. Bennett?
I do have a comment. I was somewhat shocked and surprised this morning when I opened up my LA Times newspaper And in the interior section, the new section, it was reported that with the support of the California Coastal Commission, that apparently Malibu isn't practicing managed retreat. That in fact, the Coastal Commission in this instance is very strongly supporting structures being built along 80 parcels out of 102 parcels off of Broad Beach, which is a road which is in the midst of the city of Malibu, where many, many millionaires live along the ocean. And they're doing everything but allowing anything to retreat and to allow any damage of any kind to these homes. And in the process has prevented, because the water is there, anyone even walking along the beach because of the extension of rocks and sandbags and other structures. So the article, you can go on the LA Times online to read about it. But I have to say that I'm pretty incensed given how our community was treated with the disdain and the literal nasty comments that came from the commissioners in regards to our own Goleta Beach that so many of our residents participate with their families in the summertime and throughout the year. And we were told that we would have to live with the cost of public improvements being relocated and the turf that we've enjoyed in our park as it went away, we would have to live with. And if it meant all the parking going away, we would have to have periphery parking lots and people could arrive at the beach on buses or by bicycle. And anyone who has a family and tries to have a barbecue and bring their young children, they certainly know what it takes to get to the beach and have the opportunity to and enjoy themselves. So I have to say, in reading this article, I was burning by the time I got done with it and considerably upset that the millionaires who could most afford making changes in their structures here locally, where our precious public works dollars are literally not available for this particular activity to relocate and move things because it will be so expensive, they're given a pass. And one only has to wonder where this all comes from. And I suspect if we look for donations and what have you, as Mr. Easton brought up, you'll find that the environmental community gets a great deal of their money from many of those people who live along that particular portion of the coast. That's my guess, without knowing any facts. But we see how some get treated different than our own working-class community here in Goleta, where we do not have that kind of money, and we do not obviously have that kind of influence. So I found it extremely upsetting, and I'm not at all happy.
Thank you, Mr. Bennett. Councilperson Connell, I think you have an opportunity. Oh, you already said you don't have any council comments. Is that correct? Are you standing on that one?
I mean, the only thing I would perhaps just raise as an issue that we all should be looking at and being aware of is what's happening in the homeless community. And I understand there was another death yesterday in Isla Vista. And while dealing with this issue is not necessarily within our city's purview, I think it's something we need to keep watching and staying on top of, and wherever there is a way for the city to assist in this area, we should try to do something. None of us can feel particularly proud that, five, maybe six people have died in this month out in the cold and the wet. So it's something that we need to watch and be aware of.
Thank you. I'll make a few comments, just reporting that I did have the opportunity to represent the city at the Goleta Chamber of Commerce annual event, which was held, strangely enough, at the Maritime Museum in Santa Barbara. But it was a nice event. I also was able to represent the city at the Santa Barbara Chamber of Commerce annual dinner, which is actually a luncheon, and that was held in Montecito. Things do move around, but they were both wonderful events, and they were very appreciative that the city was participating. I was also able to do a ribbon cutting this weekend at Sweet Alley out at the Camino Real Marketplace. And I think many of the council were there for the press conference involving the activities of DRI in Haiti, which was very informative. The degree of information that was available there was amazing. The geographical analysis and things that went into it were very informative, so it was much appreciated that they held that press conference to give us a better view of that activity.
May I ask, did you visit the Goleta Cannons when you were at the Maritime Museum?
I did. I did. They're on the special exhibit there for a limited time, the two cannon. So it was very interesting. They were, of course, guiding us all up there.
Good.
But a very impressive display. It's very nice that they have that there. I'll go to the city manager for city manager's report.
Mr. Mayor, I think you forgot to mention that you also represented the city at the Santa Barbara Lodging Association's annual economic forecast, which was held
in Goleta.
In Goleta.
I did. Thank you for that. Yes.
So apparently there is a lot of movement. I have two announcements which are really for the benefit of the public. We have an important workshop happening next week. You're all aware of which will take place out at the Brandon Elementary School on Brandon Drive. This is an opportunity to learn more about the future freeway overcrossing project, probably the best way to say it. There's quite a bit of material that's been sent out that's also on our website. This is just the first step in allowing the community to become familiar with the options proposed and to solicit feedback. That open house will take place starting at 5 o'clock next Wednesday, and it is kind of a drop-in open house. There'll be some various stations, so you can, even if you can't get there at 5 or 6, show up at 7 or 7:30, and we'll be there. The other thing, especially for the community's benefit, is the City Caltrans overcrossing project out at Winchester Canyon. This would be the Hollister overcrossing out near Sandpiper and Bacara, is going to get underway this week, and that will start with a number of tree removals and topping and pruning of some of the eucalyptus trees out there. Part of the topping of those trees is to eliminate the likelihood of any future nesting of various species there, so that when it comes time to remove those trees, they'll be able to do it. But you'll start to see activity out at that end of town. You also are probably well aware that today is a pretty special day, because it's Groundhog Day. It's also our 8th year anniversary. And, you know, in giving some reflection to that, I thought it'd be nice to say a few words about that 8-year anniversary, or as some of us like to refer to as our 8-year birthday. Margaret could probably comment on whether birthing a city was something paramount to a successful pregnancy or not. I don't know. But certainly we like to look at it as birthday celebrations, because each year we certainly grow and change and mature over time. You know, in the movie Groundhog Day, Bill Murray wakes up and every day is the same. That's the whole theme of the movie. I thought it was kind of a boring movie, actually. But I need not tell you that every day in Goleta has not been the same. It has brought in new challenges for us. It's brought in rewarding opportunities. Every day is different, often new, sometimes surprising. But each and every day for our growing and changing organization, it's a thrill to work here and work in a community that is still really growing up. You know, we have experienced really some major milestones in the 8 years of incorporation, as probably any young city would. And I think it's fair to say, and I don't think there'd be too much doubt, that cityhood has been a good thing for Goleta. I'm not going to go through the whole list of accomplishments. It'd be too long. You may remember, in fact, back when we had our 5-year anniversary, we went through a long list. That list's grown even longer in these last 3 years. But suffice it to say that Cityhood has really allowed us to achieve a lot of goals that are beneficial to our citizens and our businesses and our visitors. And those include local planning controls and the opportunity to have influence into future development and growth in Goleta. It's provided a huge benefit to our environment, both through the strict controls in our general plan and the careful planning that goes on here, but also in things like the significant open space acquisition at the Sperling Preserve. That was a tremendous milestone for the city and for a community our size. As you know, it's resulted in a safer community. The council's put a heavy emphasis on public safety and augmenting the levels of service that existed pre-incorporation with things like our recent bluff enforcement, bike patrols, community-based neighborhood watch programs and community-based policing, and of course the motor units that you've put an emphasis on. And through the City Council's direction, of course, we've had huge advancements in our street work, not just in the quality of our streets, and I think Steve Wagner will bring back your annual street maintenance, street management report in just a couple weeks, but in things like the number of ADA ramps, curb cuts, new sidewalks, and new traffic control devices like the stop signs you supported tonight. There's, of course, been CIP projects. Some of them have taken so many years that they've consumed many of the 8 years of incorporation, and now we're finally starting to hit the streets with more to come. And you've had the opportunity to appoint citizens to things like your DRB and your Planning Commission and other city appointments and be involved in other regional efforts. And that's of huge benefit to our community, which otherwise would have just been represented by one or two Board of Supervisors. From an internal perspective, the opportunity to finally have a comprehensive strategic plan is also a big step, coupled with our general plan and the many policies and planning documents you've created. I think it's fair to say that these next 8 years will be a little less uncertain, certainly not redundant, but just as equally exciting as the last. So I just wanted to point to that. Happy birthday or anniversary to Goleta, and we'll look forward to future reports like our State of the City this next May. And that's all I have.
City Attorney report?
No report. I'll be pleased to announce you into closed session when you're ready for that.
Please do.
There's a need at this time for the council to meet in an executive session. Conference with legal counsel anticipated litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9C with respect to potential initiation of one matter of litigation. No reportable action is anticipated.
Thank you very much. With that, I'd like to remind the public that we will be meeting in 2 weeks on Tuesday, February 16th. I haven't seen yet the projection whether we'll have an afternoon and evening session, but stay tuned. We'll have that announcement out. Meeting adjourned.